From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The whole world is preoccupied with the economic meltdown, understandably, but there is another crisis looming. How can developing countries feed their booming populations? Well, now we bring you a cautionary tale about one of the biggest countries in trouble, India. World leaders often hail India as an agricultural miracle. People there were starving just a few decades ago, and then scientists and aid groups taught Indians in one region to farm the American way, with chemicals and high-yield seeds. So now India can often export food. But evidence suggests its miracle is unsustainable, and India's farmers are heading toward disaster. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling reports.
Our story begins in a village called Chotia Kurd. 20 farmers are sitting on plastic chairs in a circle in a stone courtyard. They've come to explain why everything they've achieved over the last 40 years could be about to collapse. But first, they have to wait while I sip tea with hot milk and sugar. And they serve me platters of hot snacks. You can't talk in India until you've had tea and snacks.
You kindly come as guests to our house. So there are some fried fish. Yeah, and then there's a paneer pakora, fried cheese, but it has chicken.
This village is in the state called Punjab in northern India. The farmers are all wearing bright, beautiful turbans. Some are blue, some are purple, some are orange. This courtyard's like a bowl of crayons. All the men have big, bushy beards. They're Sikhs, and they all tell the same troubling story. Until the 1960s and 70s, their families lived pretty much like their ancestors did. They worked the fields that surround the village by hitching their bulls to plows. Their houses were one step up from shacks.
So they used to be mud houses.
And the streets were dirt pads.
They were totally unpaved.
The fact is, back in the 60s and 70s, India was a basket case.
The people of India are caught in a tragic crisis. Less food and more children.
In some villages, the people have been reduced to eating grass and leaves.
These newscasts were on NBC. But life in Chotia Kurd was about to get better, because a loose coalition of scientists and philanthropists and government leaders got together in India and the United States, and they said, we have the solution. India and other poor countries can solve their problems if they grow crops the American way. Stop growing old-fashioned grains and beans and vegetables, and just grow high-yield wheat and rice instead. Use chemical fertilizers instead of cow dung. Plow with tractors instead of bulls. They called it the Green Revolution. And it meant if you farm the modern way, your fields will turn green with crops. It also meant if countries like India can stamp out hunger, they're less likely to have a real revolution and go communist.
If we're to win our war against poverty and against disease.
That's President Lyndon Johnson in 1966.
And against hungry stomachs, then we have got to succeed in projects like this.
They launched the project in India, in Punjab. And the Green Revolution worked wonders for a while. The U.S. sent India lots of money. India's government showered Punjab with low-cost chemicals and seeds, and they paid the farmers, in effect, to use them. And pretty soon, villages like Chotia Kurd were growing 4 times as much food as they used to. A lot of the farmers were making money. So they paved their roads. They tore down their mud houses. And now most of the village is bricks and cement. I sort of impose on a family that lives nearby.
Would you be willing to take me on a quick tour of the house?
He's saying there's no problem, but she's saying we haven't really cleaned it up yet.
This house is poor by American standards. It's small and dark. They cook on a gas burner in a shed. This whole village looks poor on the face of it. Some families still get around on bullock carts. In fact, there goes one down the street. It's pulled by a bull with a humped neck. But Chotia Kurd is on a different planet than it used to be. One farmer has a TV satellite dish. And as the farmers and I have been talking, we keep getting interrupted.
Hello.
Yes. This gentleman, he's getting a call. I'm just wondering, how many of you have mobile phones?
Everyone has one.
And they pull out their cell phones and play me their rings. Some are from Bollywood movies. Others are religious chants. And then one of their teenage daughters shows up.
Do you have your own mobile phone, too?
Yes.
But now it's finally time to see why this whole system is heading toward collapse. It's time to head for the fields. When the government told farmers to start growing miracle high-yield seeds, it said, there's a catch. You can't grow these special seeds just with rainfall. You're going to have to irrigate from now on. So farmers dug wells, and they started pumping groundwater onto their fields. And on the surface, the results look great. The spring wheat crop has taken off, and the countryside is electric green in every direction. But farmers have sucked up so much groundwater over the past few decades that Punjab's supply is running out. As we wade through the wheat, we head toward a huge contraption like a steel praying mantis. It's a drilling rig. A young farmer named Sandeep Singh is standing next to it, and he looks unhappy. He says he had to hire a drilling company because the groundwater under these fields has been sinking as much as 3 feet every year. So they have to dig his well deeper and deeper and deeper just to reach it. My guide this particular morning runs the district office of the Punjab Agriculture Department. His name is Palwinder Singh. He's not related to the farmer. Most Sikhs have the same last name. And Palwinder says the water table's plunging across the region. In fact, a government study calls the situation grim.
About 15 years back, our tubular pumps were fitted on the ground level.
About 15 years back, the pumps were fitted at ground level.
In other words, you could put the pump right on the ground and it could pump enough water.
So with the depletion of groundwater, slowly it went to 10 feet, then 20 feet, then 30 feet and 40 feet. And now it's ahun kinna? Okay, so the new one will either be 220 feet or 300.
Wow, this well is so deep, it scares me to even look over it.
Hello!
Hello, hello.
Nobody was surprised when environmental activists said, the green revolution is crashing. But people were stunned when government officials agreed.
If farmers don't listen, you're saying to them, you are destroying, you're killing your future as a farmer.
That's what we are telling them.
That's one of the best-known voices in the farming industry, G.S. Kalkat. Runs the Punjab State Farmers Commission. They study agriculture issues for the government. Kolkat says if the Green Revolution keeps on mining the groundwater, it'll cause an environmental and economic disaster.
We'll have no water for irrigation, as was the problem in USA in mid-30s.
You're saying that if farmers don't make dramatic changes in the way they farm, you seriously think that the Punjab, the breadbasket of India, could become like the Dust Bowl in the United States in the 1930s?
Yeah, I strongly believe it could become Dust Bowl as it was in the mid-30s in the USA.
Kalkat says there could be another scenario, and this one's optimistic. Scientists will develop new ways of watering crops. They'll invent genetically modified seeds that don't need so much water. Science will save the day. Of course, that's what they said 40 years ago. Daniel Zwerdling, NPR News.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition, Danny continues his reporting on the Green Revolution with sick soils, voracious bugs, and crippling debts.